Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
All right, Jed Hoyer is going to join us here in about 30 seconds. Cubs president. First time, I think, since he's been named the president that we've had him on the Waddle and Sylvie show. Of course, we've had him many, many times throughout the years. But there is breaking news, Bears news, that we're going to get into. This has been something that we have speculated a lot on this show, that we have been a fan of on the show. And Ted Phillips just sent out a press release on the Bears' Twitter handle that they have recently submitted a bid to purchase Arlington International Racecourse. Churchill Downs is selling it. And a lot of people have speculated this would be a perfect site for a new Bears stadium. You could build a bigger stadium. You can build it with more first-class amenities. You could perhaps put a retractable roof on it, therefore getting a Super Bowl to come to the Chicago area, getting a Final Four to come here, getting events year-round instead of the ultra-small, not very first-classy Soldier Field. So if you want to react to that, 312-332-3776. Let's talk to Jed Hoyer right now. The Cubs have had a great season thus far. They've stumbled a bit in New York, but every time they seem to stumble, they have bounced back this year like what happened in San Francisco. So I'm hoping for more of that. Jed Hoyer, the Cubs president, joining us on the Corona Hotline right now. Jed, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. Are you surprised, first of all, that your team has played the way it has so far this year?
I wouldn't say surprised, no. I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of ways, I think that our best players, our stars that we've, you know, gotten to know over the last, you know, 6 or 7 years, I mean, I think those guys have played as expected. And I actually think in a lot of ways, the way we played last year in some ways was kind of more surprising. You know, last year we were able to win the division, make the playoffs, but, you know, it came with a lot of guys not performing as we've expected. And I think this year, you know, our guys are performing the way they have for so many years. I think that's really helped. And obviously, you know, I think we have gotten some surprising performances out of some guys that we called up from the minor leagues. I don't think we could have expected this kind of contribution from some of the bullpen arms. We couldn't have expected, you know, this kind of contribution from, you know, a guy like Patrick Wisdom or Sergio Alcantara. So I think that's really been terrific. And I think with any good season, you're going to have some surprising performances. But no, I'm not surprised by where we are right now.
You know, on day one of spring training, you came out and you said, this is a transition year for us. Would you still call it that now?
Well, I think by definition, when you have so many guys that are free agents at the end of the year, I don't know what else you can call it. I don't think transition necessarily means that the next phase is not a winning phase. But certainly, you know, it's rare to have the kind of stability that we've had of our roster. In today's game, guys move around a lot more than our guys have. And so, you know, to have this same core group now for really 7 years, we probably will look different going forward. I think that's a fact. I think everyone kind of knows that. So I think, you know, in that case, I think it will be a transition, but I don't think transition needs to imply a negative.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has, I mean, like, and whether that was the reality, some of the perception in the fan base, and Jed, you know, that I've been a Cubs fan for a long time. I've been wanting to ask you directly this question: is the goal of the team this year to win the World Series?
Yeah. I mean, I think we talked about this a lot. Not on this show, but in general, you know, you sort of watch the first, you know, 3.5-4 months of the season, and you make an evaluation about where you are. And obviously, with so many guys being free agents, if we are not competing, then that's a time that you have the moment where you can you know, make some trades and gather some young players for the future. Obviously, when you're competing, which we are, you know, the goal is to win. And if you're gonna you know, make acquisitions, you know, at the deadline, you know, the goal clearly is to win the division, to make the playoffs. And obviously you want to, you know, once you get in the tournament, you have a chance to win the World Series. So I think, you know, certainly we were open about evaluating, right? We, you know, evaluating the team, see where we are. And, you know, the way we're playing right now has been excellent. And, you know, I certainly, you know, expect us to continue to play well and to be on the buy side as we get close to the deadline. And then, of course, the goal is to win the division and to win the World Series.
And stating that you'd be on the buy side, is there any regret from the organization that you guys traded Yu Darvish?
No. I mean, I think, you know, first of all, I do think that when we talk about this, you know, there's a time we have to replenish. We've made so many moves, been so aggressive in moving moving players, prospects to get players, and I think that there does come a time in every organization where you do have to reset that. And then obviously, you know, I think that we were not big spenders this winter. Obviously, COVID hit every team hard. It hit some even harder. And I think that, you know, with that, I think there was, you know, this was not an active off season of bringing in a lot of big free agents. So I think that certainly was a factor. But I think, you know, like I said, the fact that our guys have bounced back and played so well this year has really helped to lessen that. But, yeah, certainly this was not an off-season where we were in a position to make significant additions.
Because a lot of people would say, hey, Jed, you're in the position right now to buy pitching, perhaps, like you said, and you had one of the top pitchers in the game. I understand the idea of replenishing, but people just look at Darvish and said, why him?
Sure. Yeah. No. I understand that perspective, and certainly, you know, that's something, you know, when you're adding pitching, people say that. But obviously, you know, I think you make the decisions that, you know, at that moment in time, and, you know, given where we were from a farm system standpoint, given where we were, you know, we're looking at as far as what we could do to the rest of our roster this winter. It was something we felt that we needed to do, and felt like it was the right thing to do.
Jed Hoyer joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Can you give us any good news on possible extensions?
I joke with the writers all the time when we get together. I always tell them I'm honest. I say, if you ask me questions about extensions, I'm going to lie to you. I think it's really important that we keep everything in-house about that. You know, I think that the worst thing that can happen with any kind of extension talks as it gets out in the public. I think that, you know, if we were talking about it, I always joke that I would lie to them about it. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that obviously we want to, you know, to keep these guys. I think that's something that we've said over and over, you know, whether we can financially keep all of them. I think that's something we would have to sit down and you know, make that decision. But ultimately, these are iconic Cubs, guys that we want to have in a Cubs uniform for a long time. I think the reality is probably that we'll talk at the end of the year. You know, most guys don't want to talk during the season. So, you know, if we were talking about it, I wouldn't be honest about it. But I think the likelihood with all discussions really around the league for the most part of any significant nature is usually at the end of the season.
Yeah. And like, I've always heard you say that, Jed, that you always say, we obviously want them back. I've heard Chris talk. I've heard Javi talk. I've heard Anthony talk. And they all say, and they've said it passionately, they want to remain Cubs, and they've wanted that for a while. So with you wanting them back and with them wanting to be here, why hasn't there been any progress over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had discussions. We've obviously never gotten to a place of seeing completely eye to eye when it comes to years and dollars. I mean, I think that's just the honest answer, right? Like, why would, you know, when you talk about an extension, those are sort of the things that you are talking about, right? You're talking about length, you're talking about, you know, the average value of the contract. And, you know, we've never gotten to a place of total agreement. It doesn't mean we won't, but I think, you know, at the times that we've had those discussions, we've never quite gotten there. And, you know, I think ultimately, they have every right to sort of look for, you know, the deal they think is right for them. And I think we have every right as an organization to try to do the absolute right thing to build the best team possible going forward. And those things have never quite lined up yet, but, you know, I think they may well line up in the future.
Yeah. Jed Hoyer joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So Tom Ricketts was just on Marquee a few games ago, and he said, it's up to Jed Hoyer who gets extended. Is that accurate, or is it more up to the budget that you're handed?
No, I mean, I think obviously we're going to have a lot of discussions with Tom and Crane about it. But I mean, I think that, you know, this is sort of, you know, my decision and our baseball operations decision about, you know, which, you know, guys to extend and which things make sense for us. And, you know, I think it's important. Like, we have to make good decisions. You know, you can't make emotional decisions. You have to make good decisions. And ultimately, Tom has been wonderful with Theo and now with me about allowing us to do that. And I think that's the mark of a great owner, that, you know, not sort of putting your thumb on the scale and making those decisions, but allowing you to do your job and then evaluating you after you do that.
Yeah. Has the phone started to ring at all about trades, or is it still way too early?
I'd say there's a lot of check-ins, a lot of the initial phase, kind of getting a sense of what people are doing. I think that part has started. But I think, you know, we have this huge variable right now that I think is going to, I don't want to say cloud, but it's certainly going to impact things, which is, you know, obviously they're now going to enforce the rules are already on the books, but the substance rules. And I think that, you know, there's going to be certainly some curiosity as you watch, you know, guys throw about their performance now. So I think that that's going to sort of add another layer. And that layer could wind up delaying things a little bit. But I'd say there's definitely check-ins and chatter now, which seems about like the right time. And, you know, I always say this, like, you know, people forget, like, that when we were sellers, we jumped the market and made a bunch of trades sort of in early July, and that was considered really early. So we're talking now in mid-June. It's still, you know, really early for any kind of significant movement. And I do think that, you know, the substance issue and now enforcing the rules on the books, I think that's something that could delay it further.
You brought up the sticky stuff. What was your reaction when the memo came out?
Well, I don't think it was a surprise to anyone. You know, I think this has been a huge issue around baseball all year. It's been sort of the number one topic that people discuss when you talk to other teams, or, you know, you talk to agents, or, you know, talk to the media. It's always something that comes up. And, you know, I think it is a significant issue. And I've said it a number of times that, you know, MLB in a great way has been, you know, kind of using the minor leagues to experiment with different rule changes and talking about different rule changes, because, you know, we have to, you know, have the ball and play more, you know, having these huge strikeout rates and these really low batting averages. That's not it's not entertaining in any way, right? And so, to me, it just makes sense that before you're going to change the rules to, you know, enforce the ones that are already on the books and see if that makes a big difference. And I think it's too early for me to speculate, you know, about exactly what it's going to mean. But I think anecdotally, certainly so far, it seems like the strikeouts are down. It seems like the batting average is up. And I think that it's going to make a huge difference. I think the game is more entertaining when the ball's in play. And so I'm all for enforcing things. And like I said, you know, giving hitters a break. You know, there's so much velocity in the game. When you add velocity and the kind of spin we're seeing, a lot of these guys don't really have much of a chance. And I think this will give them more of a chance.
You know, Jed, a lot of high-profile pitchers, Glasnow here in Chicago after he got hurt. Last night, Gerrit Cole. Trevor Bauer was on YouTube again talking about the Major League Baseball rules working more with the players and wishing that maybe they would attack this in the offseason. Are you okay with them making this decision now and implementing it immediately?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not something I should comment on. You know, I think that, I do feel like we're enforcing the rules that are on the books. You know, I think that obviously it's not something that's been enforced, but I mean, clearly, you know, using substances that increase your RPM 300-500 RPMs and sort of make your four-seamer unhittable. Like, that's not, you know, that's clearly not in the spirit of the rules. So, you know, as far as the timing or the discussions with the union, I mean, I don't think that's my place to comment on that, but I do feel like I said, that, you know, clearly people were doing things to the ball that were giving them a tremendous advantage. And obviously, you know, it's against the rules, and I think cleaning it up is the right thing to do.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the good, Jed. David Ross, he's really growing into the job. Do you believe he deserves manager of the year consideration? I know it's early, but we're always thinking about this here.
Yeah, consideration, absolutely. You know, I think, obviously there's a number of, you know, of guys out there that I think have done a really good job. I mean, you know, Gabe Kapler, obviously in San Francisco, they've been a really nice surprise, and he's done a great job. So I think, you know, certainly, you know, us playing well the rest of the way could help that. But I mean, I'd certainly be in his corner. I think he has such a great way with the team. His demeanor, you know, really, I mean, he's fiery and feisty, but it doesn't change. I think he's really positive with the guys. The guys want to play hard for him. And I really think he and the coaching staff have done a fantastic job. So I've got nothing but positives. And if we play well, I think he'll certainly be, you know, right in that consideration, you know, for that award.
What about Kimbrell? And I know he was good towards the end of the year last year, but he's just dominant right now. What is the biggest difference that you see in Craig Kimbrell this year compared to the last two that you've had him?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because obviously when we got him, it was, you know, halfway through the season. One of the things we talked about at the time was, you know, there's real risk and real challenges in not having a spring training and starting halfway through the season. And I think we lived it. We lived the difficulty in doing that. And obviously, you know, he struggled in 2019. He struggled early in 2020. But if you really look at what he's done, I don't know exactly how many outings it was in the last year, but if you look at kind of what he's done after the kind of half dozen first outings of 2020, he's been dominant. He was dominant at the end of last year. I thought Rossi did a brilliant job of, you know, he took him out of closer role, but, you know, Craig was excellent, you know, setting up Jefferson, and obviously they flopped at different times, but he was really good last year. And then obviously this year he's been even better. Now this is really what he's been in his career. He's a totally dominant closer, and it's a lot of fun to watch when he's on, you know, like he was in a couple of those Cardinals games over the weekend with the crowd, you know, going crazy. I mean, that was unhittable stuff he was throwing. And it's a great feeling to have that back there. You know, the rest of the bullpen has done such a great job this year. But there's a comfort in knowing that the ninth inning has been locked down. And yeah, he's been incredible. And, you know, this is a guy that, you know, that we were signing when we signed him in 2019. Obviously, it took a little bit of time to get there, but this is a lot of fun to watch.
Jed Hoyer for a couple more minutes. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. You mentioned the atmosphere. I mean, it's so great just to be back celebrating life again. By the way, I'm going to Swift and Sons. I'm going to see our guy Bame tonight.
Yeah, very nice.
Can't wait. And so, you know, the vaccination talk came up again, Jed. And you came out 3-4 weeks ago. I think it was with Cap and Jay Hood. And you said, you know, it's disappointing and that you're far away. And a lot of your guys have come out publicly recently stating why they haven't been vaccinated. What is the biggest disadvantage competitively for not being at 85%, do you think?
Well, there's sort of two disadvantages, right? And listen, I think I've said my piece on this topic. I'm not going to sort of talk about individual players. I'm disappointed as an organization that we haven't gotten to 85%. And the disadvantages are, first of all, you know, if you're vaccinated, you're significantly, you know, less likely to get it, period, to get COVID. So I think number one is, you know, our guys are more of a risk of testing positive for COVID. And then the second thing is that, you know, the contact tracing, you know, that the guys that are vaccinated aren't subject to that, whereas, you know, the guys that aren't vaccinated are subject to that. So I think that's really the biggest area, is that you sort of risk, you know, having that kind of incident if you're not there. So yeah, I think we're, you know, I've said publicly, and I don't need to make headlines again, but yeah, we're putting ourselves at a competitive disadvantage by not being able to get to 85%. We've worked really hard to try to move the needle. We've tried to educate guys and convince guys, but you know, at some point, the union, we don't have the ability to mandate that guys get it. And so guys are going to make their own decisions. And obviously a lot of our guys have chosen not to get it. And, you know, while I understand that they're making a choice for themselves and their family, but I wish they were vaccinated. It would make, you know, certainly take a lot of stress off me and off Rossi and off everyone else having to think about these things.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned that earlier in the year that you were a little disappointed that Rizzo came out publicly about the negotiations. And then Rizzo came out recently publicly about this. You know Rizzo as well as anyone. You're one of his biggest fans. Because of all this, is the relationship still great?
Yeah, I mean, we've known each other since he was 17. And, you know, I think, you know, obviously within a relationship that goes on that long, there's going to be disagreements. But I mean, he knows what I think of him, and I mean, I think what he's done for this city, you know, both as a Cubs player, you know, as sort of number 44, and what he's done for the city, you know, and all the people in it as Anthony Rizzo is incredible. So, yeah, I mean, listen, we can have our disagreements. It doesn't change how I feel about him as a person, how I feel about his family. I think I'm able to hold multiple thoughts in my head well enough to change how I feel about him. But it doesn't mean we don't disagree on certain things at times.
Yeah. All right, as we let you go, do the Bears finally have a better quarterback than your Patriots?
I'm so excited. I was, you know, you're talking about the atmosphere here. I mean, it's been so unbelievable. I was blown away even against the Padres when it was 60%, and then obviously the Cardinals this weekend. I mean, to me, the sign of a playoff game is when, you know, like at the end of the first inning, if it's scoreless, the place goes crazy. And like that was happening all weekend. You know, we have a scoreless first inning, the top of the first would be scoreless and the fans would go crazy. And I'm like, God, that really only happens in the playoffs when people are that into it. And I was so happy for Justin Fields that he got a taste of that. You know, he got announced on Saturday, the place was going crazy for him. And I thought that was as cool as a welcome to Chicago moment as you could possibly have. And, you know, listen, this is a Bears town, and people are so excited about it. And great job by Ryan Pace, you know, trading up to get him. And I mean, I think everyone's excited for a reason. Yeah. I mean, I think they're in good hands.
Yeah, great hands. We can't wait. We're very excited. All right, are you a Cup Snake fan? Yay or nay?
A what fan?
A Cup Snake. So the beer cups.
You know, I mean, I guess you know, I guess. That's the true test, I guess, that we feel like we're post-COVID. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, there was a little part of me that was squeamish about that. I thought it was pretty cool looking. Not going to lie to you. If I'd been in the bleachers, I'm not sure I would have partaken in that. Yeah. But, listen, I think people are so excited to be out. People are excited to be going to games. And people are excited to go to restaurants and things. And that good for them. And people should have an incredible, incredible summer and enjoy it. Because, obviously, you know, a lot of the beauty of the city is it's the best summer city in the world, and we didn't have that last year, so I have a feeling it's going to go up a notch this year, and I guess the beer snake was step one.
It's awesome. Jed, always appreciate your time. You're always willing to talk. Waddle and I both appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Anytime, fellas. Be well.
All right, there you go. There's Jed Hoyer. A lot there. If you want to react, 312-332-3776. Also, the breaking Bears news that they are trying to buy Arlington Park to build, obviously, a brand new stadium. We'll get to all of it next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, a lot there from Jed Hoyer. You know, nothing like extreme news. He says they're in it to win it, though. It's something that I've been asking. He denies that he regrets making the Yu Darvish deal. If you missed it, we'll replay a portion of it at 5:30. And of course, anything that you miss on the show or that you want to go back and re-listen to, you can always do that on the ESPN Chicago app. So that will be posted by itself, obviously. There's also the new Crosstalk Unhinged. A couple days ago, Waddle, me, Carmen Yurko went into the studio. We're uncensored, 30 minutes, commercial-free. We had some fun with Crosstalk Unhinged. I want to read you the Bears news here. And obviously, I believe most people in the Chicago area are in favor of this. But I am getting a lot of pushback on Twitter because it's not going to be unanimous. Soldier Field is a landmark. Soldier Field is in our city. Soldier Field has great real estate. To be right where it is picture perfect. But if you've gone to Soldier Field, you know that Soldier Field is one of the worst NFL stadiums in the National Football League. It is not easy to get to. It is not easy to get out of. It is small. It is not first class. There are many, many issues with a, quote, modern Soldier Field, which isn't modern. So the Bears today released a statement. It's the first time I'm going to applaud Ted Phillips in years. This is a quote from Ted Phillips. We recently submitted a bid to purchase the Arlington International Racecourse property. It's our obligation to explore every possible option to ensure we're doing what's best for our organization and its future. If selected, this step allows us to further evaluate the property and its potential. We have asked for calls on this topic for the last several months. Brian Hanley on our radio station has had this for a lot of years, saying, hey, watch this. This could happen. He was all over it when Churchill Downs was thinking about selling it, and they are. This is the last year of Arlington, and it makes perfect sense. I will address all of the concerns coming up, and I'd love to hear yours. Are you in favor or are you strongly opposed to the Bears building a new stadium at Arlington Park? We have now finally gotten the official word that, yes, they are interested. They have a bid in. 312-332-3776.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at Home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
If you listen to the Waddle and Sylvie show, you've known that we've talked a lot about the Bears possibly moving to Arlington Heights. It's been a topic on this radio station. Brian Hanley's talked about it. And today the Bears officially came out saying they have put in a bid. I think Tuesday was the deadline. We read your quote from the Arlington Heights mayor a couple of days ago where he said, the Bears were a maybe on it. And Ted Phillips came out with a statement that they are exploring it and they have put in a bid. We'll see where they're willing to go on that. But there are so many layers to this. First of all, the Bears lease runs through, I believe, 2033. But there are ways, obviously, to get out of it. Also, this could also be another way to pressure the city of Chicago, to pressure the mayor to get exactly what they want at Soldier. Whether they want to totally get a new stadium or they want to add to it, there are 61,500 people that could go to Soldier Field in the third largest market in the National Football League. This is, you just heard Jed Hoyer, the Cubs president, talk about this being a Bears town. 61,500 people can go to 10 Bears games. You know, 8 of them regular season, soon 9. It will switch off year in and year out. It is bad to get to. It is bad to get out of. It is bad to walk to. You go through that field museum maze. The food stinks. It has no modern amenities. There is no way to host a Super Bowl. There is no way to use the facility in the off season. And that needs to change. This town deserves a Super Bowl. This town deserves a Final Four. When we had a bid for the Olympics, we had to build a fake Olympic stadium on the south side because Soldier Field wasn't going to be big enough for that. I mean, there are so many things. The Bears don't own their own stadium also. All right, so let's talk about this from a financial standpoint. You want the Chicago Bears to be a big market team, to reinvest in the team, and they don't get the full price from concessions and from parking and from all the other things that most teams do because the Park District owns Soldier Field. They lease it from the city of Chicago. That is not ideal for a team. So I know a lot of you guys are going to call in and say they are the Chicago Bears, Sylvie. They've played at Soldier forever. Wilbon's a big proponent to this. The San Francisco 49ers play 40 miles away from San Francisco. The New York Giants, the New York Jets don't play in New York City or New York State. They play in New Jersey. The Miami Dolphins really don't play in Miami. It's like Fort Lauderdale. You know, I could go on and on with this, with all the different stadiums. Dallas, I don't believe. The Dallas freaking Cowboys do not play in Dallas. You build the stadium where it's best for your team. And the Bears don't train in Chicago. The Bears are like, everyone's like, oh, well, if they're going to move and play their games in Arlington Heights, they're going to be the Arlington Heights Bears. The Chicago Bears reside 365 days a year in Lake Forest, Illinois. They don't reside in Chicago. They reside at Hallis Hall 1920 football drive, Lake Forest, Illinois. So I get there's a lot. I love this city, and I know a lot of you guys are going to frame it that, Sylvie, you live in the suburbs. I don't really believe Soldier Field is convenient to anybody. I know you guys are chomping at the bit. This has been a topic. Waddle is out today. He's on vacation. Bleck and Abdallah. The Bleck family has had season tickets to Soldier Field and to watch the Bears for many, many years.
Yeah, dating back to Wrigley. And my wife's family, actually the same thing. So we have dual options to go to games, which is fantastic. But yeah, I mean, Sylvie, everything you laid out there is well said. To me, if you're moving out of the city, that means you're building a stadium that has a roof and a controlled climate, and having the privilege of going to so many cold weather games, although fun at times, they really are a pain in the ass. And it's a concept that I think would be great, would be, how do you feel like when you go to a Bulls game in the middle of January,
right,
you get to the United Center, you take your jacket off and you enjoy the
evening.
You
check your coat,
yeah,
perhaps.
It's a beautiful night, right? Like, and it may be a tough walk to get to the stadium, but you're not out there for 4, 5, 6 hours tailgating, the whole thing. To me, it also would benefit the team. I don't think any Bear weather ideas have ever been hold true ever in the past. And the NFL is an offensive sport, and I think the teams who have the better offensive tracks usually play better at home. And also, in a bigger stadium, you have the chance to be a little bit louder, right?
Right.
A little bit more of a home field advantage. I love the history of the team. My family has deep roots on both sides, going back to this franchise playing on the lakefront. And it's something that I think has been very cool to watch over an extended period of time. I saw someone in the Twitch chat also mention, like, you know, you remove 85. It's not like the Bears have a whole heck of a lot of great memories at Soldier Field.
Right. You know what I'm saying? A lot of those memories are at Wrigley, right, from years ago.
Like, if you really want to get into it, all of those great Sayers and Buckus games, those took place at Wrigley. So, like, you can't really hold on to the rich tradition, because it was really only that 85 season where the Bears were that great on the lakefront. You know, and there were a couple Urlacher moments that were fantastic. But outside of that, I'm for it, as long as it's a controlled climate, indoor, retractable roof,
right,
something that we can use.
Retractable, like when it's 70 degrees. And
open it up. That's
open
cool.
It up.
That's cool.
I have natural grass or whatever.
Yeah.
As long as you can take care of the grass. I was on the Bears beat when they built this stadium. And I know all that went into it. They fought so long with the city to get a deal done. And what they ended up doing is not building the right stadium, because they were just happy to get a new stadium deal. Let's build it within the colonnades. Let's make it this size. And we can't do a retractable roof. There's not enough space. So in Arlington Heights, you have a blank canvas. You can build it exactly the way you want it. 80,000, 85,000, retractable roof, all the amenities. You don't even have enough tailgate tickets for this fan base. And that's only with 61,500. You got to win the lottery, some of you guys, to tailgate.
Oh, yeah. I'll raise my hand. Yeah, like, you got to win the lottery to participate. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. We don't even have enough parking spaces to tailgate at Bears games. We can do it all just north. You've got the Metro station that lets off right there. I heard a Cap and Jonathan Hood talking about, you could build like these little bridges that are covered where you can go from the Amtrak station and go right into the stadium, and no one ever has to put on a jacket. And you don't have to worry about that sort of stuff. Put a casino in there as well. You've got a blank slate. And that's why I'm excited today. Let's take some calls at 332-3776. Are you yay or nay about this? Barry in Park Ridge, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bear?
Okay, you've covered a lot of the bases. And pardon the hoarse voice, but actually, if Michael McCaskey had messed up when they started this thing before the last lease ended, they would have been somewhere else. The advantage they had 10, 15 years ago was that you didn't have those apartments and condominiums that were built just west of the railroad tracks, so you could have done something there.
Mm-hmm.
But because he blew off 9 years of working, and he managed to offend the mayor of Arlington Heights, Mayor Daley, the whole nine yards, that's why, if you wonder why our young friend who's treasurer of the of the Bears is so well thought of. It's because Phillips did stuff in 1 year to get it done.
Right.
Where McCaskey couldn't. And so they probably would not be in Soldier Field. And it's unfeasible. You can't do anything to it. They need something retractable dome like what they do with Miller. They need $85,000 for Super Bowl. They need off-season stuff. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if city limits or not. That's not going to make people come or go. And there's a bigger reason. They're going to get more season ticket holders and more money.
That's it, Barry. That's a great call, despite the hoarse voice. Thank you. 332-3776. He hit everything right there. John in Long Grove, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, it's actually Don.
Hey, Donnie. What's up, Donnie? How are you?
First time caller to your show.
Thank you.
Long time listener. Love you guys.
I appreciate it. Thanks, John.
Anyways, I'm a season ticket holder, and I would be ecstatic if they moved to Arlington Heights. I hate Soldier Field. And I stopped going to games because it's such a hassle to go there. I hate it. Anyways, it would be great to have a dome, retractable, nice atmosphere. It would be awesome. I'm getting older, and I need that kind of environment to go to the game. I would be so happy.
Don, thank you. We appreciate your phone call. 332-3776. So your reaction, again, this is not now the speculation that we have had for several months on this radio show. The Bears have tweeted out a quote from Ted Phillips saying that they have put in a bid to purchase Arlington Park. I got to tell you a story about that. A little role reversal on the show before the show started when this news came down. We were all giddy about it, and I want to continue to take your phone calls. Dan Wiederer will join us up at Hallis Hall at 3 o'clock. Justin Fields also spoke today, so we're loaded.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
So we're getting ready for the show. We're standing in the IDOT bullpen. We're talking about all the different things that are on the docket today, and we are very busy. We were watching Justin Fields speak, and I knew I had the clock right, that I still had about 10 minutes before the tease. So like 2:45, I went down to grab some stuff down the hall, and it was a role reversal for the show because it's usually me, as Hoodie always imitates me, yelling in the hallway, Abdallah, have you seen my headphones? Hey, Abdallah, did you give me the story? All of a sudden, I hear this, like, shriek. And it was very, like, I didn't know where it was coming from because it was very not Abdallah-like. It was not in a... Abdallah's usually really cool, and he's never... He's never yelly.
The voice can carry. Listen, you want to hear the voice carry?
You were a theater kid, right?
Yeah, play golf with me when I yell four.
Oh, really?
When I spray to the left, yeah.
Are you a deep throttle four? What are you?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's
a throttle four.
Throttle.
Yeah. No, what were you going to do with your hand? Hold on. Let me turn the Twitch chat back on real quick. Hold on. What were you going to do?
Throttle four with the hands.
What were you going to do with your hands?
Throttle. I was shrugging. That was a shrug. There was not anything else. There was a shrug.
Yeah.
Shrug. So I hear this like high pitch, Sylvie. And I'm like, shoot, did I forget the tease? And I looked again at my phone. I'm like, it's only 2:45. So I come walking back down. I'm like, hey, and Abdallah's got this thrilled look on his face. He's like, the Bears put in a bid to buy Arlington Park. I mean, we've been very pro this. We've talked about it for a long time. And they released the statement right after Justin Fields got speaking. And it reads this. We recently submitted a bid to purchase the Arlington International Racecourse property. It's our obligation to explore every possible option to ensure we're doing what's best for our organization and its future. If selected, now remember, they got to go through this process. It could be like the city of Chicago going for the Olympics. This step allows us to further evaluate the property and its potential. So we've talked a lot on this show about it. We're asking you about it. 312-332-3776. Bob on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, what's going on, Sylvie? How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to take the opposite on this one. I work in the hotel industry, and I know that a lot of people actually come downtown. Like, they'll stay over, they'll stay the weekend or whatever at a hotel. And, you know, I just think from an economic standpoint from the city, that why can't the Bears leverage that against the city so that they can actually get a retractable roof and everything that they want? Because there is a lot of revenue that goes into the city. That's just my, you know, that's just my thought on it.
Bob, I think a lot could be what you're talking about. I think they look at this as a can't-lose proposition. This is sort of like the same site that the Rams built their stadium on. I believe they did it right where the Great Western Forum was, and there was a horse track there as well. They purchased a ton of land, and they built this beautiful new stadium. So they look at it as a place where they have a blank slate, but they also look at it as they have a lease through 2033, and maybe they can get the mayor and they can get the park district to do a lot of things for them. I think they feel like this could be a way to be in the catbird seat. And I hope they do it the right way, because like another caller said, you know, Michael McCaskey botched it for years and years and years and angered the city. And, yeah, Lori Lightfoot doesn't want to lose him. And she mentioned the NFL wouldn't let him go. That's BS. That's total BS. The NFL wants to do what its charter franchise wants to do and what's best for the NFL. And if they get another site with more season ticket holders and their team can profit more on it, they want their team to build a new stadium.
Could there also be a play if someone just tweeted us about the size of the lot that Arlington has, which is more than where SoFi is built in Los Angeles? And what if, like, the Bears were planning, maybe the next step is an NFL team owning a casino?
Sure.
Right? Hotel, casino, football stadium, all this whole complex, yes, all in one, now that gambling is more
it's just going to turn into Biff's, but with McCaskey.
Yeah, why not,
front,
right?
From Back to the Future. It's just McCaskey's with a big statue of him outside.
Like, do you know how much more the Bears would be worth if they have their own stadium?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's going to cost a ton of money to build, but again, nobody loses these days buying a team and buying these. You build the right stadium, you're just going to continue to skyrocket.
Well, you build it, you got your own stadium, and then if you want to get out,
you sell it.
Right? For way more than what it would be.
Of course.
If you didn't have a stadium.
Yep. Mark in Glenview, you're on ESPN. Oh, hold on here, I did the wrong one. Did I hit the right one? Mark in Glenview, you're on ESPN 1000. Sorry about that, Mark.
That's okay, Sylvie. I talked to you and Waddle a couple of years ago when you were talking about putting a roof on that stadium. And my solution to that was blow it up. You don't put a roof on 60,000 seats. That's just plain stupid. Notre Dame had a smaller stadium. They put 23 more rows around it. They're down to 80,000 seats.
Right.
And I've been there a number of times. There's not a bad seat in that house because there's no big distance between the seating and the field. It's a fabulous place to watch the game, even though I hate Notre Dame. But you got to go to Arlington Heights. You got to have everything you could possibly do. The only way you could build a great stadium, tear down Soldiers Field, then tear down McCormick Place and create more parking. It's hard to create real estate. And in Arlington Heights, you got all you'll ever
need. You got that blank slate. Right. And Mark, like, it's what a lot of people have talked about. The, you know, the White Sox had a chance really in the South Loop. Like, a lot of these teams had a great chance before the city was built up. You know, we always looked at the lakefront and no one ever envisioned the South Loop becoming what it was. And the Sox could have built there. The Bears could have built on the other side of the tracks too. More of the complex. There were creative ways, and it was such a small-minded situation. Like, I applaud the Cubs. For a lot of people who don't like what the Cubs did, I think what the Cubs did is they saved Wrigley Field and they made it better. They really, really made it better. They did not do what Soldier Field did, where they renovated it and they did it in a shoddy fashion. They really made Wrigley Field a better experience for its fans.
The caller just mentioned Notre Dame Stadium. Notre Dame Stadium is gorgeous.
Yes.
It is awesome. The inside, it feels like you're in a new stadium. Yet it is the old stadium.
Right.
It's incredible.
I'll give you another example of that. You're not going to like the example, but they've done it way better than us. I'll tell you about that. We'll talk to Dan Weederer about this and other Bears news in 2 short minutes.